This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ooh, I'll tell you what, I learned a lot from this blue-gold spring game. And if you watched or at least followed along or listened to it, you'd have done the same thing. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. This is the H2P podcast on DK Pittsburgh Sports. My name is Corey Christen. Today is April 13th, 2024. Hours after the blue-gold spring game, the official end to the spring period for Pitt football and for college football, I learned quite a bit, as I just mentioned, and I'm curious to get thoughts post-mortem, of course, in the comments section of this podcast on dkpittsburghsports.com on what you felt stood out to you, what you felt needed improved on, what you felt you saw in that spring football game, the blue-gold game, gold a winner over blue, and quite a few takeaways that stem around the offense. Of course, at times throughout this spring game, this offense looked like it was an offense that was operating under a entirely new coaching staff that was replaced over the offseason. Spoiler alert, that's because this offense was an offense that was operating under a coaching staff that entirely got replaced over the offseason. New offensive coordinator, new quarterback coach, Cade Bell, new running back coach, new wide receivers coach, new tight ends coach, new position coaches across the board for the offense. After a 3-9 season and just absolutely horrid quarterback play for, I would say, all but two, maybe three or four of the games, Pitt had to make changes. Pat Narduzzi had to make changes, and he did that. That's why Cade Bell, at 31 years old, after having one of the most successful offenses in football championship subdivision, is here. That's why this new regime is here on the offensive side of the ball. Now, Saturday wasn't the first in-game or live experience, so to speak, for this offense. Of course, they've had team scrimmages, and they've played at the stadium. They've done scrimmages, and of course, they've done ones-on-ones and full contact at the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex on the south side. But we got to see a public taste of it for the first time on Saturday. Now, the spring game, it's for everybody, is vanilla. They're not going to go to page 100 of the playbook and throw, you know, the triple reverse pass that's meant to trick, you know, Louisville or whatever team it is. Pick a team. But what we saw were simple concepts, simplified movement that will preview what this Cade Bell system is going to be. Couple of things that stem from that. Number one, and I want to take a whole segment to get into Nate Yarnell, and I'll do that in the second segment in a few minutes. But also, it was even just the slightest change and the slightest usage of personnel. The one play that stood out to me was the screen pass to Kenny Johnson that went for a touchdown. I believe it was an 18-yard touchdown. And again, conventionally, you think, well, it's a wide receiver screen. Those are chance. You have to set the right blocks up. You have to do this, that, and the other to get it right and for that kind of success to happen. And yeah, that's correct to an extent. But the fact that it worked as easily as it did, and Johnson, if you watch the replay, I believe it's on the Pitt Football Twitter account, the fact that Johnson was so open on that play and had so much space to work with and was able to pretty easily get that touchdown, like, that just stood out to me as something that I probably would not have seen in the Cignetti offense last year. Then there was the touchdown from Nate Yarnell to Lamar Seymour, 34 yards. Seymour ran a go route, but Nate put a really good ball up there, and he was pretty solo by the time he burnt the cornerback. It's that kind of stuff that gets you excited about the Cade Bell offense. It's that kind of stuff in conjunction with Nate Yarnell being the quarterback that gets you excited. There are a few things that excited me about this spring game, but the big storyline to me was paying attention to how this offense was going to show. Now, there were ups and there were downs. Of course, the ups I just talked about with touchdowns from, it was Ty Diefenbach that threw the screen to Kenny Johnson. Nate Yarnell threw a touchdown, the 34-yarder to Seymour. And then Eli Holstein, the Alabama transfer, threw a touchdown to Daniel Carter, 6 yards. But also this offense experienced the hiccups. There was a period where between the blue and the gold teams, 5 3-and-outs in a row. Blue team had 3 of them, gold team had 2 of them to start the second half. It's that kind of thing that makes you look at this offense and say, okay, it's not week one ready yet. And Pat Narduzzi and Nate Yarnell and even Jacob Bronowski, who was the head coach of the blue team, acknowledged as much after the game. And that's fine. They're not going to have this offense totally figured out by the time mid-April rolls around. But Nate Yarnell said it, and I'll paraphrase it somewhat here when it comes to how this offense is developing. He said that this offense was unrecognizable today compared to what it was in practice one and when they all got together on the south side to start the spring period. If they truly feel in their heart of hearts that this offense that we saw Saturday is unrecognizable versus the one that we saw 6 weeks ago in practice one, then one can only imagine what's going to unfold over the summer once the transfer portal opens up on Tuesday, and then in fall camp, and then once we get to August 31 against Kent State, 140 days away from the spring game. They feel there's another gear, and there is another gear to hit within this offense. It's install, and Pat Narduzzi talked about the installation of this offense. To directly quote Narduzzi after the game, quote, "It's continuing to polish. Our kids are still learning it, and there's a lot of conversion going on out there. There's a lot of learning to go. We're not even close to where we could be. This is just the first install. We'll have a summer install as far as in the middle of summer. We'll go through the same thing on both sides of the ball. Then we'll have fall install, and we'll be ready to go." End quote. That's Pat Narduzzi talking about when I asked him what the next step for this offense could be. And he prefaced all of that with saying he didn't know if there could be a next step. It's more or less just continuing that process. Now, maybe that's worded differently, but saying the same thing, but stay with me here. With all of that said, the Cade Bell offense worked at varying levels. This is a big jump going from FCS to Power 5. And Pat Narduzzi, obviously, if he didn't feel comfortable with this kind of jump that Bell would have to make with his offense, he wouldn't have made the hire. Now, conspiracy theory brain might say, well, Pat Narduzzi had to make a drastic change from Frank Cignetti, so he's going from one drastic side to the other. I don't know about that, but it's definitely going to be a different look this offense is than what Frank Cignetti ran. And that should benefit Pitt going forward. Coming up in the next segment, I want to dive into Nate Yarnell. And I want to dive into why I believe he's the right choice to be Pitt's quarterback in 2024. And maybe beyond that. All right, segment two of this H2P podcast on DK Pittsburgh Sports. Corey Christen with you on April 13th, 2024, recapping the spring football game. It was a 17-10 gold team win over the blue team at Akershire Stadium on the North Shore. A very breezy Saturday afternoon. Good weather otherwise, but that wind was blowing well. Sam Carpenter, Ben Sauls each made field goals. Credit to them. I believe Sauls' was a 50-yarder and Carpenter's was 44. So pretty impressive stuff. And I believe also they were both kicked into the open end, which we all know how tough it is to kick at Akershire Stadium. If you're a Steelers fan, of course, you know that one. Nate Yarnell's the right guy for Pitt. I wrote about this at the end of last year after the Duke game, the final game of the season, even though Pitt lost. Nate Yarnell was the right guy to proceed forward with. I saw more out of Nate Yarnell in those last two games than I saw from Phil Dracovic and Christian Vayer combined throughout 10 games last year. Yarnell came in, won that Boston College game. And of course, they lost to Duke to close the season. But again, wasn't necessarily Nate's fault. Bad offensive coordinator obviously got fired the day after or 2 days after, whatever it was. And Nate Yarnell said something after the game today, after the spring game, that I can't get out of my head. It's that after that Duke game, at some point to begin those offseason meetings, Pat Narduzzi made a commitment to him. Let him know that he was going to be the one to take the reins in the offseason, to be QB1 into the spring. After a year of sitting behind Keaton Slovis and Nick Patty, after a year of sitting behind Phil Dracovic and Christian Vayer, it was Nate Yarnell's time. And I even asked Nate, because that, again, just, it keeps sticking with me. It's sticking to me right now. How Nate said, and I'll paraphrase it, that Pat Narduzzi had a conversation with him and said that he was the guy going into spring camp. He was going to be the one that they were going to give the ball to go into spring. And I asked Nate about that, what that meant. And he said, quote, it just allowed me to play football and focus on coming to the facility every day and grinding. And I don't have to worry about anything else. That meant everything. And to have that trust from him is huge. End quote. Yarnell has been loyal at every stop to Pitt. He has been through and through about that development. We saw that in a glimpse, in a small glimpse, in 2022 in the Western Michigan game. Remember, Keaton Slovis couldn't play. Nick Patty didn't play. And Nate Yarnell came in. He only attempted, I believe it was 11 passes or 12 passes. But he took care of the football and they won the football game. They had a great defense. Of course, Kalijah Kancey and Eric Hallett, Brandon Hill, and MJ Devonshire, and Marquez Williams, and Servasi Dennis. They had a great defense on that team. But Nate Yarnell still took care of the football and did what he had to do to get Pitt that football game. Then look at last year, 2023. Phil Dracovic was so bad, they had to get him out of the position room. And then Christian Vayer, he had the one good game against Louisville. He basically spoiled Louisville's chances of making the college football playoff. And then didn't play so well in the few games after that. And that's when Nate Yarnell got his opportunity. At that point, the Boston College game in week 12, it was, why not? And Nate rewarded them, and he gave them their best quarterback play to end last season. When you combine that with what Cade Bell's offense wants to be versus what the skill positions are allotting versus what Nate can actually do, go back and watch that 34-yard touchdown he threw to Seymour. Beauty. Absolute beauty over the top of the defense. Only Seymour could get that ball. Perfectly placed ball. In the spring game, 12-16, 108 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. And it's not just no interceptions. There were no gasping footballs thrown. And what I mean by that is the ball didn't come out of Nate's hand and you immediately thought it's going to end up in the wrong team's hands. Or the ball didn't come out and it fluttered or it sailed or it just wobbled. It came out good. It came out with intent. And the thing about Nate Yarnell is that that's what he is as a passer. That's what he is as a passer. Pat Narduzzi called him a gambler earlier this week. And gambler from the standpoint of he'll take risks downfield. But now he's maturing and learning how to make those completions and taking what the defense gives him. And all of the cliches that you hear all the time, it's true now with Nate Yarnell. Nate took 2 years to sit behind veterans ahead of him and saw the really dumb mistakes that they made, but he's not doing them himself. He's being smart with the football. He has been smart with the football. That was the thing in the last two games of 2023 that Nate Yarnell did so well. He took care of the football. He didn't make dumb decisions. Now, caveat it if you want. Maybe Frank Sigonetti's playbook was a little simplified for Nate Yarnell. Maybe it was. And of course, when you go to the spring game with a new offensive coordinator, you're not going to go to page 100 of the playbook. There may not be a page 100 of the playbook. It might be page 10 or it might be page 5 by this point. But the commitment to Nate Yarnell is so vital in this whole entire process. That's why I wrote about it after the Duke game. If you go to dkpittsburghsports.com right now, you'll see my story after that Duke game. And I said, Pat Narduzzi said, he had a 14-page list of things, I'll never forget that quote, to fix. And I added that Nate Yarnell should not have been one of them, or the quarterback should not have been one of them. Yes, they added Eli Holstein. Yes, they got Julian Duggar as a true freshman. Yes, Veyer's still there. But Nate Yarnell had to be the guy they committed to. Pat Narduzzi did that. He stuck to it through the spring. And then he gave the reaffirmation at the end of the game that Nate Yarnell was going to be QB1 going into fall. As it should be. As it will be. He's the guy for it. Leadership. You hear the buzzword leadership all the time. That's who Nate Yarnell is. That locker room loves playing for him. That locker room loves being around him. He loves being around that locker room. He's a sponge. He's a true character in every sense of that word. And I mean that in a great way. He has character. He has heart. He has passion. He has a desire to play for something bigger than himself. I see that in him. I see all of those characteristics in him. And when you have a college football program that just went 3-9 and had its worst season in the 9 years that this head coach has been there, you need someone like that at quarterback. Someone that can get reputation back, that can build it back up. And Nate Yarnell is going to be here a couple more years. It's this year and next year. He's a redshirt junior right now. You need continuity at that position. Nate Yarnell gives that to Pitt right now. You need a leader in that locker room. Nate Yarnell gives him that. Maybe Nate Yarnell is not going to win the Heisman. In fact, he probably isn't. And that's fine. Nate Yarnell doesn't need to win the Heisman. Pitt's not going to go undefeated this year. Spoiler. But could they work back towards 500? Could they work back towards a bowl? Sure. I will give you that. Why not? Why not? Let him have the reins. Let him have his opportunity that he sat back that he worked for, and that he earned, most importantly. Let's take our second and final break, and when I come back, I'll tie in the rest of the spring game with some odds and ends, some takeaways, some good and some bad. We'll wrap it all up in that third segment. Don't go anywhere. Let's wrap this up. Third segment of the H2P podcast on DK Pittsburgh Sports. Corey Christen here, April 13th, 2024. Wrapping up the spring football game that just happened. 17-10 gold team over blue team at Acrisure Stadium. And let's tie in some odds and ends in this. Defensively, my standout was Rasheem Biles, who was absolutely everywhere. Absolutely everywhere on this afternoon for the blue team. Seven tackles, two for loss, one sack, one hurry, one pass defended. Everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. What a day for Rasheem Biles. And this is a linebacker room that is so curious to me. 2 years in a row, it loses its signal caller in Servassier Dennis and Shane Simon. Now, Brandon George has been there, right? He was backing up Servassier a couple years ago. He was playing alongside Shane Simon. Brandon George has been there, done that, and I understand that. But aside from him, you're looking for a couple of guys to step up at linebacker. There's Jordan Bass, of course. But when I think about this defense, and I think about a couple of guys that could step in, Cruz Brookins, Braylon Lovelace, and now Rasheem Biles to go in with those guys. They got a good thing going at linebacker. When you look at it, when you really look at it, I mean, they got a good thing going at inside linebacker and outside backer, of course, too. And that's not even to talk about Solomon DeShields, who didn't play on Saturday. Another thing that I really liked was Kenny Johnson. Of course, he had the touchdown. He was the first pick in the draft that they had on Wednesday to decide these two teams. Kenny Johnson, six catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. He had the 18-yard touchdown, and he also had a reception of 20 yards. Gavin Bartholomew, two catches, 45 yards, long of 27. If I gave you that stat line in any game in the last 2 years, you would have done a handstand. You'd have been so excited. Because where has Gavin Bartholomew been when it comes to that Frank Cignetti offense? How many times did we talk about this last season? Gavin got looked at, and he got open quite a bit. And he came back to Pitt, and you have to think that Cade Bell's going to find ways to get him open. Dejon Reynolds, four catches, 41 yards. Good day at the office for him. Seymour had the 34-yard touchdown. Mumfield had two catches for 22. One of those went for 21. Montrevious Lloyd had two catches for 15 out of the backfield. One of those went for 10. Zion Fowler, four catches, 15 yards, but along a seven. Like, the ball was spread around. It's going to happen in the spring game. But behind Kanate Mumfield and Dejon Reynolds, they need these young wide receivers to step up. Of course, Kenny Johnson's going to play a huge role in this offense. But again, Lamar Seymour, Zion Fowler, Cam Montero, they need somebody out of that group of three to step up. And I feel good about what I saw from those receivers. Was I surprised that Zion Fowler was targeted as much as he actually was? Actually, yes. Because when you look at the spread for the blue team, Yarnell threw the ball 16 times, Veyer 6, and Julian Duggar 3. Fowler had 4 catches, so obviously more than one quarterback you would think would have thrown to him
But at the same time, like, if Nate Yarnell has a little rapport going with Zion Fowler, how about that? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? As I go into my soft voice on Masters weekend. Hello, friends. I was also impressed with the way that the running backs were used in absence of Rodney Hammond. For those that missed it, Rodney Hammond had a red non-contact jersey on. He took one carry for, I think it was 3 yards, and it was, you know, two-hand touch, but still. But now, I think of the running back rotation. Desmond Reed, who had 5 carries for 12 yards. Derek Davis had 4 carries. Just looking at the distribution, Daniel Carter, 27 yards a game high. Like, they're going to need Rodney Hammond and a lot of him. But I'm curious to see what the split is of Reed, Davis, and Carter behind him. Like, Daniel Carter is not a fullback. He'll tell you he's not a fullback. But Desmond Reed was so successful in the Cade Bell offense of Western Carolina. He's one of the two that followed along with CJ Lee, who didn't play in this game. And that's another wide receiver that has to factor in. This running back room is going to be utilized sparingly. Like, I think Rodney would lead the team in rushing and rushes and touchdowns and all of those categories, but they're going to utilize Reed and they're going to utilize Davis in some ways, I think. Here's a negative that I had. The penalties were insane for a spring game or for any game. Blue team penalties, 7 for 60 yards. Gold team penalties, 8 for 80 yards. Now, I'm no mathematician. That is 15 penalties for 140 yards in a spring game. Can't have it. And this team was very, very undisciplined last year. They can't have this again with the penalties. It's too much. Too much. The third down numbers were also a little concerning. For the blue team, 2 for 11. And for the gold team, 8 for 14. That's not as concerning. Blue team only got 7 first downs, and they ran how many plays? 46. The gold team ran 54 plays, and they got 11 first downs. So, okay, let's even that out. Let's figure that out. Also, I noticed the size of some of Pitt's players. I think they need to add a little more weight. That's just me, though. That's just me. Nobody's really imposing right now. Of course, it's spring. Of course, there's still an offseason to work out, but that was a takeaway for me, and I wanted to share that. And I thank you for sharing your time with me on this Saturday or Sunday or whatever day you're listening to this H2P podcast. Remember, you can find us where all podcasts are found. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. We record typically every Saturday, should the time allot us. We've been doing good with those lately. Spring ball has wrapped up, and things are going to start slowing down rapidly for college athletics. Really, the next thing on the list is recruiting in the transfer portal, which opens on Tuesday as I record this. So taking an eye on that and keeping an eye on that. Thank you again for listening. My name is Corey Crisson. This has been the H2P Podcast. We'll talk to you next time. Cheers, everybody. Have a good one.